today is found in the book of Esther, chapters 3 and 4. We left off speaking to you last week how that this king Ahasuerus had exalted this man Haman. And we spoke to you about Mordecai not bowing before this man, which was the commandment of the king. In those days when Mordecai was sitting in the gate of the king being a doorman, there were two men that were chamberlains and who took care of the doors. And these two men, they were angry with the king, they were wroth with the king, and they sought to lay their hands upon King Ahasuerus to kill him. And the thing was known unto Mordecai, who likewise told Esther of this, and she certified the king about this matter. And when inquisition was made and was found out to be true, they took these two men, Bigthana and Teresh, and they hung these men for plotting to kill the king. What these two men were angry about, what the king had done to these two men, we could not find any information on. As all is that they were plotting to kill the king. This is nothing unusual. Even throughout the ages of time, many rulers, many presidents, likewise had been killed by some of their subjects, who likewise were angry with their dealings and what they decided upon. So here, this king was spared from being killed by this man, Mordecai. Mordecai told Esther about it, and in this way the king was given to know that there was someone out by the gate that was good and kind enough to let him know what was going to take place with him. And now this king, he had this written in the book of the Chronicles, a book probably that was a historical book which they used in the line of the things that the king did and what happened. They wrote these in this book. But we find that Mordecai, he was not rewarded for this good deed that he had done to the king. It was the providence of God over Mordecai, and likewise over the king, that he did not yet reward him. The time was not there. God knew the time, why, and when Mordecai should be rewarded for this deed. And now we find that Mordecai sat at the gate, and there were other servants likewise that sat with him. This Haman had to go through this gate, and every time he went through the gate, while these other servants, they bowed in reverence to him, because it was the king's command. But Mordecai, he did not bow, he did not show any reverence to Haman. The Jews were likewise commanded by God not to bow anything to human beings. So likewise, Mordecai, his conscience taught him that he should not bow before this man. And now day after day, when he did not bow, well, these servants, they said unto him, why dost thou transgress the commandment of the king? These servants, they likewise seen that Mordecai wouldn't bow. And when he did this day after day, they told Haman about it. Human nature isn't any different today than it was then. We find in Scripture that there were three young men who were likewise commanded to bow before the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they wouldn't bow either. And there were certain Chaldeans, they went in and told the king about it. And now it was God who spared the lives of these three young men, or otherwise they would have been burned alive. But here, Mordecai, he did not care, even if it would have cost him his life, he would not go over the top of his conscience. This conscience spoke to him that he was not to bow before this man who was an Amalekite, who was an enemy of the Jews, and God had sworn war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. And this man, Mordecai, he had a clear conscience in this matter. And what a mercy to have a clear and a good conscience in life, when we can appeal unto God that we do this because we do not want to sin against him. But so many people go over the top of their conscience. So many have, as we read in Scripture in Timothy, a conscience that is seared as with a hot iron. This conscience that God has given unto you and I, we may try to stifle it, we may try to kill it, but we cannot. It remains. It's God's king in us, and it will strive again and again for its mastery. And what a mercy if you and I may listen to this voice of conscience. This is God's voice to us, and be obedient unto it. This is what Mordecai did. Irrespective of it would have cost him his life, he was going to keep a clean conscience in this matter. Oh, how many transgress commandments of God, which God likewise has given unto us, and their conscience witnesses when they transgress it, but they continue on transgressing these commandments because of the fear of man, because of the position that they have and the income that they have, and they go on in sin. How horrible it is when we have God speaking to us in love and mercy, and that we don't give heed to it. May you and I be kept from doing these things, my hearers, and may we be given a good conscience, a conscience that's tender and that feels that which is wrong and evil in the sight of God, but also that which is good and upright, which our conscience likewise will witness to and give us comfort and give us satisfaction. This man Mordecai then, he was likewise spoken against even by these servants. These servants, they told Haman about it. They liked to see Mordecai either bend or break. They didn't care about him. They did this either to gain the favor of Haman or otherwise, because they had to do it, and why should not he do it? But he did not. And when they told Haman, and Haman went by and seen this Jew, Mordecai, that he would not bow before him, that we find that Haman became filled with wrath. He became angry at this Jew, and it scorned him to do something unto Mordecai alone, for they had showed unto him the people of Mordecai, the Jewish people. The Jewish people were just like Mordecai. They likewise would not bow before a human being. And he, this Haman, he hated these Jewish people for their religion, for them coming out and standing up for it as Mordecai did. And therefore, he thought that he would get even with this Mordecai. In his heart, he said, I'll fix him, and not only him, but everyone that's like him, especially these Jews. He had then an inward hatred against these people, the Jews, and he planned inwardly to destroy them, to get rid of them if he could. And we find that he went into the king, and he spake unto the king and said, there is a people throughout the provinces over which thou dost rule, who have laws which are contrary to the king's laws, and who do not obey the king's laws. And it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Let them be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the king's treasury, give it unto the hands of the men that will do the business, and then they likewise will not in time rise up against the king. They will not do what they plan to do. He surmised that these people, the Jews, would likewise be rebellious and likewise stand up against the king in due time. This is the way that he put this to this king. He made these people out then as a people that did not obey the king and his laws, and that they likewise were a rebellious people. Now these people, the Jews, they had been carried away captive as prisoners, and they were in this land, and they had been taught by God himself that when they were carried away captive into an enemy's land, then they were to be peaceful. They were to do what they could for the best of the country that they were in. And surely these Jewish people, they had been told by the prophets that their captivity would be a long time, 70 years. And therefore, while they were in this country, they were citizens of Persia. And they, most of them that were there at the present time, had not went up with that permission that Cyrus gave them to go back to Jerusalem. They had been well settled in this country. They had been established. They had their homes, their families, and their relatives there. And these people had not went back to Jerusalem. And now these people, they were peace-loving people. They were not as this man Haman described them unto the king. But he got permission of this king to do what he had in his heart to do. He wanted to have them destroyed. So he gave the king gave to Haman his ring, which he signed the papers with, and he gave unto him the people and the silver to do as he thought that was good. He had the fullest confidence in this Haman, and he gave him then the authority and the reins of government to do as he wanted to do with these people. This man Haman then, he sought then the destruction of the Jewish race. He was an enemy of God. He was a devilish creature. He was a proud creature. He would not see that Mordecai bow before him. This he could not stomach. This he could not take. His pride, which had been exalted by reason of his exaltation over all the other servants, gave him the feeling that he was greatly superior to these. And therefore, this pride in him made him this way. Pride, of course, is a sin that came with the fall of Adam. It was the devil's bait to Eve that if she did eat of that tree, she wouldn't die. She would be like God. She would know good and evil. She would be even greater than God. And Eve fell for this, and the devil, he triumphed over the human race. And he has been seeking to destroy the human race ever since. And here he is seeking to destroy the race of the Jews, because the Messiah was to come forth out of this race. And the devil had this instrument, Haman, to use in this respect to have the Jews destroyed. This Haman is a type of the devil, but likewise his pride is just like mine and yours. We are all by nature filled with this sin of pride, one more and another less. We all have it in us to be somebody, to be greater than the next person, and to have people honor us and to reverence us and to think well of us. This is the pride of our human nature, and this is what Haman had. Pride is a great sin, my hearers. Before pride and a haughty spirit, there cometh likewise a downfall, destruction. And this is what this book teaches us, that when persons plot and plan to have others destroyed, sometimes they fall into the same net and the same plan that they have made for others. So in this would take place in due time with Haman. Haman then, he received permission of the king to write letters with the king's seal and with his name upon it. Something, if he had, could never be reversed. This was a law that was no good either. For this king, no one could get near to this king. His place where he sat upon his throne was like a prison. If he had any subjects that had some controversy and couldn't get justice by the inferior judges, they couldn't get to the king only through his counselors. So this king, what good was he for his people? They couldn't appeal to him. They couldn't come to him. They were kept out of reach of the king. This king, he sat on a throne and he had these men around him, and the only way that the people could get to the king was through these counselors. So this king, he was in this respect isolated from his own subjects. And now this man Haman, he had permission to come to the king, and the king liked this man and gave him this authority to destroy all these people. So he began to write letters, and he sent these letters with the king's seal and his name upon them throughout all the provinces throughout Persia. 127 provinces. How many Jewish people were living in these provinces, we do not know. But this was sent by post, and it was hasted by the king's commandment, and they were told that on the 13th day of the 12th month, which was Adar, that day they were to slay, they were to destroy, and they were to make perish of everybody that was of a Jewish race. Women, men, young ladies and young men and children, even infants, they were all to be destroyed. No reason was given why they should be destroyed. No word in this letter to that effect that if they did this or did that, they would be exempt from being destroyed. This was an awful thing that was permitted by the king and which Haman contrived to do. These letters came to all the people throughout the realm of Persia. And these poor Jewish people, they were told that on that day they were to be slain. Oh, who can imagine that anybody would do something like this, and that anybody would think up something like this? This has been likewise done throughout the ages that this world has stood. I was reading of a day called St. Bartholomew's Day, August the 24th in the 16th century, when from 2,000 to 100,000, they don't know just exactly how many of these French Huguenots were slain, were killed for their religion by the Catholics. They were all killed. And the Pope at that time, he sent a word of congratulations even to the Queen in France for doing what she did. He even agreed to it. And then when we come down to modern times, think of what Hitler did to millions of these poor Jewish people, how they were murdered, how they were slaughtered, how they were buried under the ground. This is the way Hitler treated these Jews. This, what Haman attempted to do, has been done. Many poor creatures have been given to be martyrs for the faith that they had because they stood firm. And now when this came into these provinces and these Jewish people heard what was going to take place with them, And we find that there was weeping, there was wailing, and there was fasting, and there was crying and mourning among the Jewish people. Couldn't you picture this yourself? Suppose that was you and I. We were of these people at that time, say. We would gather our children round about us, our innocent children, and we would have to speak to them and say, listen, children, this and this day we have to die. The king has gave a commandment, and it cannot be reversed. We all have to perish. We're all going to be slain. We're all going to be murdered. Oh, what would you do if you was a father and a mother of children? What do you think the Jewish people did? It says that they began to weep, they began to wail, they began to mourn, they began to fast. I am sure that they all went on their knees and they began to pray to this God in heaven above. They came to him and said, remember, O God, thou who hast made choice of us, we of old have been thy people, and thou hast many times delivered us out of our troubles, and here we are, doomed to die, doomed to be slain. Oh, won't you, in your wonderful providence, change this king's decree? This, my hearers, leads me to this thought. There is a day coming that has also been decreed by the King of Kings. This day most certainly will take place, and there will be no reverse to this decree, and that is when Christ shall come in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. When all those who have gone on in their sins and paid no heed to the gospel being brought to them, those who have remained enemies of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, will likewise be brought before this tribunal, and they will hear from the mouth of Jesus that blessed lips that has spoken so wonderfully to his people. They will hear a voice condemning them into the lowest hell forever and ever. Oh, my hearers, I would like to bring this before you. The Jews, when they were notified that they had to die, there was weeping, there was wailing, there was crying, there was fasting. I bring before you this day how I would like that every one of you that are listening to me would believe this, would take it to heart. I am sure you just skip it by. It don't make any impression upon you. It's true. It's something that's going to take place, believe me. If you believe this and it took you into the heart that you had to die, that you had to sink into hell, oh, wouldn't you go somewhere? Wouldn't you get down on your knees? Wouldn't you pray to this God that he would save you on that great day? Believe me, my hearers, this is going to take place. Could I entreat every one of you to seek a place and cry to God like the Jews did? Oh, they wept, they wailed, they fasted, and they went to God with their troubles. Oh, may you be given to do so concerning this important day which is hastening upon us. And now we find that these Jewish people, they likewise resemble the church of God. This man Haman is a type of the devil. The devil, he is seeking to destroy the human race. And he, in a great manner, has succeeded in destroying many, even to this present time. This devil, when he saw the image of God in Adam and Eve, he went to them. He couldn't see that. He wanted to destroy that image, and he succeeded to the destruction of the human race. And wherever God in his love and in his grace restores that image in a person's soul, when grace is manifested and the life of God is revealed in its outward actions, in all its dealings with mankind, the devil will seek to destroy that person. He will attempt in every way, if possible, to get rid of that person. But the Bible teaches us that the gates of hell shall never prevail over the church of Christ, and it'll never prevail over one human being who has Christ dwelling in his heart by faith. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if we may be one of these. Search yourselves whether you are one of these dear children of God, an exception in this world in which we live, one whom God loves, one whom God will protect, one who God takes care of. All my hearers, Mordecai was one of those. And now we find that this Haman, he had then received this permission, he had sent this out, and him and the king, they sat down to drink. Unconcerned, didn't care about what had taken place, what they had designed to do, they sat down to drink. And of course, even in Shushan, the city where the palace was, this decree was made known. And now, of course, these people that were living in the city of Shushan, they couldn't take this either. They had so many good neighbors, so many good friends in the Jewish people, and now they were to be destroyed, they were to be slain, they were to be murdered. Why, this was wholesale murder right from the court of the king, and they surely couldn't agree to this. But it was to be done. It was a law. It could not be reversed. Oh, what an awful thing this was for these poor Jewish people. Of course, the thought might arise in your mind, and this probably arose in their minds too. This is God. He's visiting us. We didn't agree to go back to Jerusalem. We stayed here, and now he's going to punish us this way. But this, my hearers, might solve this thought too. That this Jerusalem was under the ruling of the Persian reign. They likewise reigned over the people in Jerusalem, and even them, they were going to be slain. They were going to be murdered. Oh, my hearers, this was an awful thing. And now we find in the next chapter that when Mordecai heard what Haman had got from the king to do, that this Mordecai, he went into sackcloth and ashes, and he cried with a bitter cry in the streets of the city. I could picture this man. He took it all to himself. He said to himself, probably, oh, if I had only bowed before this man and I had reverenced him, this would have never taken place. And now because I didn't do this, all my people, they have to die. They all have to perish. But you know, the Jewish people didn't take it that way. They didn't say, well, because Mordecai didn't bow, that's why we have to die. No. No, they admired this man for his conscience sake and for his steadfastness in obeying what God had commanded them to do. This man took it to himself, and all he went into mourning, he clothed himself with a black robe made of horsehair, which mourners wore in those times. And there was a law that such creatures could not enter into the gate of the king. And Mordecai, he cried through the streets because he was a Jew and he was doomed to be slain. He was doomed likewise to perish because of this decree. And now when he was sitting at the gate of the king, he couldn't go inside. There he sat mourning and weeping. And Esther, the queen, who he had brought up, she was told by her chamberlains and by her maids that Mordecai was outside in the gate, and he was clothed with sackcloth, and he was weeping and crying. So she sent out to the gate a new garment to clothe him with. She wanted him to take off this sackcloth and to clothe himself with these new clothes that she sent out to him, but he would not receive these new clothes. He sent them back to Esther with the word that he was going to continue to wear this because of what Haman had done and what would take place to the Jewish people. She did not know, she had not heard what had taken place between the king and Haman. And now when they certified her and told her, she sent out Hatach, a chamberlain that waited on her, and he went out to Mordecai into the street of the city, and he questioned him why that he would not receive these new garments and why that he was weeping and crying. So he told this Hatach that Haman had made this decree. He even showed it to him in writing, and he told him that he should go back to Esther and tell Esther that Haman had likewise the authority to have all the Jews slain, and that whereas she was a Jew and she was even a queen, that this wouldn't exempt her, that she likewise would be slain with all the Jewish people, and that she should go in unto the king and she should plead for him and for her people. For he reminded her of her relationship to them. And now, of course, the queen, as she sent word back to Mordecai and told him that there was one law. Nobody could enter into the king unless he put out the golden scepter to him or her. And she had not been into the king for 30 days, his own wife. She was even excluded by this law from coming in. This law, as I said, was no good. It was a law that gave this king the opportunity to have any one of his concubines come in when he wanted to. Even his own wife was excluded. She couldn't come into this place where he was sitting on the throne. And when she certified Mordecai about this, that if she went in and he did not put out the golden scepter, she would most certainly die, then Mordecai said, who knows? Why, maybe that you have become queen and are sitting there for this reason. And if you do not go in, well, then know that deliverance will come from some other way, and that you and your father's house will be destroyed. Go in unto the king, he says to her. Well, this Mordecai, he had some faith, didn't he? He did. He believed that if she didn't go into the king, well, God would arise and he would most certainly deliver the Jewish people from what this man, Haman, planned to do. He didn't know which way God would do it, but he believed that God would do it. Why did he do this? Why did he believe this? Well, he knew that the Messiah had to come forth out of this Jewish race, and God would never permit that this Jewish race would be destroyed in this way. He thought probably God would gather an army or another nation together and overpower the Persian reign. And in that way, probably Esther and her house would be destroyed, but God would see to it that it would not take place, as Haman had thought he would do, and as he had written it should be done. And now this Esther, she sent word back to him, and she said to him, I will go in unto the king in 3 days. But now, 3 days, you and all the people in Shushan and all the Jewish people that you know, let them all fast. Let them not eat or drink anything for 3 days, but let them fast. In other words, let's have a prayer day. Let's ask God so that when I go in unto the king will show favor to me. You may be sure that this is what she wanted of these Jewish people. She was placed in a position that it meant her very life. And now, of course, to go in unto the king, it seems that the love of the king had cooled towards Esther because she hadn't been into the king for 30 days. And she didn't know whether the king would put out the golden scepter to her or not. She took her life in her hand to go in unto the king. And therefore, she asked them to pray for her, to fast, and to look up unto God that he would give that when she did go in, she might find favor in his sight. And Mordecai, he likewise certified this to the other people, the Jewish people, and he himself, and also Esther and her maids, they all fasted for 3 days. This Esther, in this respect, is a type of a child of God who likewise is brought to that position where Esther was brought. And many times God works by his blessed Spirit, and he brings home the accusations of his law. He brings home a guilty conscience. He sets before such a person his back life, all but sin, sin, sin. And now inside they say to this person, there's no use for you. You'll never find favor in the sight of God. You've sinned so much, you've done so much wrong, you've been such a transgressor all your life long, there isn't any hope for you. And the law comes in and accuses such a person. And such a person is in a state and condition that it knows not what to do. It can't go backwards because it sees if it goes back into the world and serves sin, it's lost forever. And if it goes forward, it knows not how it's going to be received because it has a guilty conscience, it has a load of sin. It's done everything that's wrong in God's sight and deserves God's wrath, its anger, and his righteous judgments. Oh, my hearers, have you ever been there? Have you ever been brought to that place that you couldn't go backwards and you couldn't go forwards for fear that you would not be received? Oh, I would entreat. If there are some poor perishing sinners listening to me who fear that they will not be received, oh, I would say, do as Esther. She told them that she would go in unto the king. If I perish, I perish. Have you been there? Have you went to the king? If you have, my hearers, then you likewise have received that which Esther received of the king. She found favor in his sight. And if you are a poor perishing sinner, fearing that you're going to sink into hell, and they say inside you deserve to sink, and you say, too, I do, I would say, venture on him. He never, never spurned such a sinner away from himself. Oh, I've been there myself, my hearers. I've had these words brought home to my own heart. If I perish, I perish. And I went into that king, and I never had such a good time with Jesus as I did then. How he revealed himself to my soul. Oh, it's a blessing when we are a perishing creature and we need Jesus. Can't go anywhere else. We will find that he will receive us. The Lord bless my feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.